Okay, I'm looking.
Hey, shh. All right, if you're staying, let's get quiet. And if you need to go talk, that's fine. Just do out in the hallway, please. Bless you.
I'm looking at Roman numeral 11 on the handout, and it's talking about Israel's response to Jesus. And it's saying the words save now and pray are a rendering of the Hebrew words for Hoshiana. And then Mike's description of that was saying, like, the people of Israel, when they were throwing the palm branches down, and, you know, they were saying that's equivalent to, you know, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, but then the leaders didn't accept that. But I'm just wondering if that could be clarified better, because the actual phrase for blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord is Baruch Haba B'Shem Adonai. And so I'm just wondering if it would be more accurate to say something like, you know, when Jesus stood up in the temple and he quoted from Isaiah and he said the first part, you know, that I'm not remembering exactly the verse, but
okay.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And he only said the first part that
right.
came
and not the vengeance.
Right. Would it be more accurate to think of it that they said the first part of something, but not actually the second part of blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. You said that it was the same,
to that.
But I think it should be distinguished is what I was saying. Would that be more accurate?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
No, good.
Tim.
I've just been grappling in this last season with the revelation of Jesus the warrior, and in Psalm 48, where it says he is revealed as a stronghold. And it just says God in her palaces has made himself known as a stronghold. And it just kind of struck me like, wow, this is how he chooses to reveal himself in the last days as this warrior. But in this context, it seems to indicate that these kings are looking at this palace, at this, at this glorified Zion, the stronghold, and just wondering how that might tie in with this time frame of him returning to Jerusalem. But it indicates that they're looking at this glorified Zion, and they're terrified. They don't know what to do. But it's like Jesus obviously is there. So is there some interaction with this kind of in terms of timing?
I think there are different descriptions that are giving us different angles of the same general time frame and the same general event. If that makes so, for me it feels like different poetic angles describing the same scene of deliverance from different perspectives, different angles. So I would say yes.
Definitely. I'm on Psalm 48 in about 2 weeks. I can't wait for it.
So is it? But it almost seems to indicate that there's something of a building already, if they're seeing it. So is this something, but it's still the same time.
Yeah, the millennial temple, it's all been built. So it's a minute down the road, yeah. It's not the day of his entry.
But yet these kings are still there. They're not defeated. They come.
No, those are righteous kings. Those other kings are killed, yeah.
Ah, okay.
The bad guys are all killed in one day in Revelation 19:19. They're all killed, and they're all new. All the new kings are God-fearing. They're new believers. I mean, they put in king in the first month or two. They're a month or two old in the Lord.
Okay.
I mean, they're not really good at teaching the Bible and stuff yet.
Well, they do have the living word in front
but
of them.
But they do have Jesus, and they get to go to Jerusalem and learn from him.
That does help.
That helps a lot, yes.
So this is something later.
Yeah. I hope you plus plus.
And that's good. He goes, the apostles had 40 days of classes in the resurrection, but they still missed a bunch of stuff. That was really good.
Great. Annika has a question here.
Hi, I'm from the overflow room.
We have four overflow rooms, so bless you. Student, I help you student or intern? Intern. Which internship?
One thing internship.
Awesome. Welcome. Yeah, welcome. Tell everybody to come over here to ask questions if they want to. Yeah, please.
Oh, for sure.
I've been trying to tell them. They weren't brave enough. my question is, you mentioned that the army's being like bees. And I was wondering if that was, if you were getting that just from Psalm 118 or from another verse as well, because my understanding, I mean, I'm very new to all this, but that armies were being like locusts, but then I was wondering where the bees come from.
It's just an analogy, you know, just the fact they sting, but it's over quick.
Okay.
And they're like everywhere, you know, the Antichrist armies. I think it's just that word picture.
Yep, I would agree. They're swarming. You see that analogy other times in Scripture, the idea of bees.
Like in Deuteronomy 1, it talks about the nations around Israel. They'll swarm at you like bees. It's just a word picture, yeah.
Okay.
I think Isaiah 5 says, I'm going to whistle for the bee to come. Like it's Egypt and Assyria. So there's an analogy like there as well. Anyways. Do a bee research. Good. Bee search.
I got a question.
Okay, Paul.
Oh, okay. Well, in the notes and in the Bible, it says all nations will conspire against Israel. And
that's the Psalm 83 one.
Right. And they'll destroy, he'll destroy all the nations that conspire. Well, what if America joined with Israel and became no longer United States of America, but became a colony of Israel, became Israel.
And what if?
Yeah, because, well, you know, like in the Bible, many dinosaurs aren't spoken about, but there were dinosaurs, so it doesn't say in the Bible that would happen, but what if it did?
If it did, it did.
we don't have any verses for that, so we would be speculating.
Speculation.
He's just like saying it's a cool thought.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and the thing is that Jesus will land on Edom. No, Jordan, you said, right?
Which is Edom, yeah.
Right.
Ancient Edom is modern-day southern Jordan.
Well, he said he would march up through Edom. We weren't making a statement where he lands.
So it probably won't happen because Jesus would have to land over here and then march to Israel, and that won't happen. It's not in the Bible, so.
Okay, Emmanuel has a question.
So my question is, if you could, it's a simple question, but if you could expand a little bit how you came to the conclusion that the second part of Psalm 24 is specifically talking about Jerusalem in the context of Jesus coming back and like the battle is the battle of Armageddon here.
Well, it's the King of Glory has to enter into the city.
Okay.
Who is the King of Glory if it's not Jesus?
Okay.
Now, does that make sense? There's no other human that could possibly be. And at the first coming, Jesus didn't do mighty battle, and they didn't open the gates to him. The leaders did not. They killed him. Mm-hmm. So that's how.
The other point being, verse 8, it actually says, who is the King of Glory? And the response, it says the Lord in English, but would be Yahweh is the King of Glory. So Yahweh's entering the city as a king. So
as a man, yeah.
There's only really one time he's entering as the King of Glory in a conquering mode, and
that's the second coming.
That's what Mike pointed
out. I don't think there's a possibility of it being anything there, because his first coming, he was veiled in his glory, but he did enter the city, but they killed him. They didn't say, "Yay!" I mean, the kids did, but
yeah. Here he's mighty in battle. He's strong. No other human king would dare claim that that's talking about him, and. And like Mike pointed out,
does that make sense?
That's not his first coming.
Yeah. Okay. Good question. Thank you. Yeah.
It's a good question.
Thanks.
Okay.